Amen. It's good to be in God's house. We trust you've had a good evening, Lord. It was good to have visitors with us in the youth zone. Good to have visitors here in the service with us tonight. And glad that you're here. Wonderful news that we have received here from Brother Lee and Sister Donna. Thank the Lord for that. And we'll trust God to continue to work in that situation. Brother Ray, I think that's probably about it. He was at the hospital today visiting with Brother Rooks. And Brother Rooks, they let him go home, but he's got to go next week and meet with a heart transplant team. Brother Rooks is a young man. Y'all be in prayer for the Rooks family as they enter this time in their life. Maybe the Lord will... let him find a heart. It's amazing what medical science does, you know. Just one life is taken at God's choosing, and then with those organs, they're able to give life to others. It's an amazing thing. It just really is. So be in prayer for him. We'll be in Acts chapter number 2. Acts chapter number 2, we'll be studying again through the apostles. We started four weeks ago looking at the apostles. Remember, a disciple is a learner. An apostle is a sent one. And so that is what we've been looking at, studying through the apostles. And we looked at Andrew. And then we looked at Peter. I kind of split Peter. Peter is, his life is a little different in the Gospels. But when you get over into the book of Acts, it's like a different, like a switch clicked on there. But you remember Sunday I told you where the Lord said, when you're converted, strengthen your brethren. And so you kind of see that in the book of Acts. So I kind of split Peter into two as we looked at it. I didn't want to rush through it, but you'll notice there in Acts chapter number 2 where Peter is mentioned there in verse 14. The Bible says, but Peter standing up with the 11, lift up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell in Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. And so Peter begins here, as we know, on the day of Pentecost. He's there and he's preaching, and the Bible tells us in verse 41 of that chapter that Peter, as he preached at the end of the day, the conclusion of the matter, there was 3,000 added unto them. But from our studies last week, you'll remember Peter was kind of haughty and bold. He was a little inconsistent, pretty much self-motivated, you know, was his own way. And he was very quick to speak. But as we move over here to the book of Acts and look at the rest of Peter's life, you'll know he's very humble, confident in the Lord, confident in Scripture, consistent, just steady at it. And he's not motivated by self anymore. He's Spirit-led, and he's quick to suffer. You remember there in the Garden of Gethsemane? Boy, he whipped out that sword pretty fast, didn't he, and whacked off that ear of the servant. But as we look on through here, you'll notice that Peter becomes very quick to suffer for Christ. And that is just I don't know other how to put it than just a time of maturity, spiritual growth. I think he recognized and saw a lot of things. Some of the causes for the change, I think we'll notice. I think maybe one of those was probably in Matthew 28, you know, when we studied the resurrection and Peter actually seeing. Matter of fact, flip over if you would at this verse. Hold you over to Luke chapter 24:12, and look how Luke writes it here as they're at the tomb. Luke chapter 24 and verse number 12. The Bible says, then arose Peter and ran unto the sepulcher, and stooping down, and beheld the linen cloths laid by themselves, and he departed. And listen what it says, wondering in himself that which was come to pass. Now, it's one thing to hear. It's one thing to hear. Even he heard the Lord. You remember Sunday morning we was looking a little bit at Peter. Peter heard the Lord said this. They're going to come. They're going to take me. They're going to judge me. They're going to persecute me. They're going to kill me. But I'm going to meet you in Galilee. I'm going to rise again. And so to hear it is one thing. But to see the hand of God at work is a total different scenario altogether. It is amazing to me when I look out into the lives of believers and see God's hand at work in the lives of those that are His children. It amazes me. But I'm telling you, it overwhelms me when God works in my life. And just some about it. You know, it's like, wow. It's not that I don't know God doesn't love me. It's not that I don't know that God doesn't love Brother Bernie more than He loves me. There's no orphans in God's family. There's no red-headed Cinderella stepchildren running around looking for a silver shoe in God's family. We're all heirs, joint heirs with Christ Jesus. So it's not that we don't know that. But boy, when you see God come into your life and work in your life, it's just more than amazing to me. Words cannot even comprehend. I can't even bring words out to describe it. So I believe the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. When Peter, let me just think about it a minute. If you had just denied the Lord three times, and you're thinking, man, Brother Bernie, you work at the funeral home. How many folks do you work around that funeral home? You've heard them say this. Man, I wish I'd have got things right. A lot. Because when death comes, you're stuck with it. Can you imagine Peter? Remember Jesus told him, Peter, the devil's going to sift you as wheat. Boy, and he saw it. Can you imagine me just for a moment? The hope that must have sprung up in his heart, in his life when he saw. I mean, just amazing to me. And not only that, I think the post-resurrection meetings. Look over in Acts chapter 1 at verse number 3. Acts chapter 1, verse number 3. The Bible says there in Acts chapter 1, verse 3, to whom also he showed himself alive after this his passion, by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. You know, as the apostles spent those 40 days there with the resurrected Lord and seeing the wounds, seeing, being around Him, I think this is part of that their change that we see as Peter is starting to see more of Christ. And you know, maybe it was possibly the week of prayer. You know, he told them there, go leave Jerusalem, go out into, you know, verse 4 says there in Acts chapter 1, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. And then look at verse 13. The Bible says, and when they were come in, they went up into the upper room where abode both Peter, James, John, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, son of Alphaeus, Simon, Zelotes, and Judas, the brother of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication. You remember the last time Peter was praying? Remember there 50 days prior to this, 40 days prior to this, he was in the Garden of Gethsemane? Couldn't even keep his eyes open. You know, now he has a week of prayer. That's why I'm telling you it's so important that we make our times of prayer. We have set times of prayer. You know, because it is a difficult thing, dear friend, for you to kneel down upon your knees and get before God and spend a quality amount of time with your mind focused on prayer. It takes training. It doesn't, listen. I don't care who you are. You're not fixing to tell me that you're just going to all of a sudden one day jump and pray for an hour without starting in smaller segments. You got to build up to it. You know as well as I do. You get out of your face before God in 10 minutes of prayer. Your mind has done wandered off 16 different other places. So Peter was, you know, his last prayer meeting, he was with the Lord. Matter of fact, got rebuked by the Lord. I said, just sleep on, Peter. You know as well as I have, sometimes in your own prayer life, the Lord just says, let the Holy Spirit pray. You're just asleep. Let the Holy Spirit pray for you. But you know as well as I do, boy, when you can spend a good quality time in prayer, you get some quality time with the Lord. And it's not just give me, give me, give me, give me, give me. It's talking about how good He is and how wonderful He is and how thankful we are for the things that He has done for our church, for our family, for our life, for our country. And we just cast our burdens upon Him and we cast our cares upon Him. Well, when you get up from that sweet hour of prayer, it makes a difference. That's why we have on Sunday morning, we have opportunity for you to come join us in prayer. Ladies over here, men over there, we meet 9:30 or so at your own convenience. And you spend time in prayer. And then Sunday evening at 6 o'clock, all the church just falls in over there. And we just pray for a little bit and spend time with it, with the Lord. And it's building us up and getting us prepared and edified for the work of the Lord. Now, I'm going to tell you something. If prayer isn't the work of the Lord, we've missed the boat. You want to know a powerful church? You find a church spend time praying. Prayer is important. And so maybe, perhaps, this change wrought about because Peter had spent a whole week in prayer. But we know a definite difference. We know in Acts chapter 2 how they're there on the day of Pentecost and things are happening and the Holy Ghost of God fell upon them and filled them. The empowering of the Holy Spirit of God, it is amazing. It'll work changes in your heart and your life, dear friend. That's why the Bible prompts us and encourages us not to quench the Spirit of God within us. Because it makes a difference. The Holy Spirit of God, He makes a difference in our lives. So we notice that there is a difference here in Peter's life. A lot of it, you'll notice that prior to, in the Gospels, as you study Peter's life, Peter was always telling, Lord, you're not going to die. Lord, you're not. Listen, if you're going to die, I'm going to die with you. But after, almost at every turn, Peter's talking about the resurrection of the Lord. The resurrection does something, dear friend. It does a whole lot for you. Look over in 1 Peter chapter number 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. Look at the focus of Peter after the resurrection and after into the book of Acts as things begin to transpire and transition into a new era as the Lord's gone to heaven and He sent the Comforter back. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. The Bible says there, blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, with according to His abundant mercy, hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Right there where we started a while ago in Acts chapter 2, if we'd have read on and begin to study, if we'd have read on from chapter 2, verses 14 down to verse 41, Peter preached a tremendous message and several times mentioned the resurrection of the Lord. It just is amazing how the focus, when you mature as a Christian, you focus. It becomes more about God. It becomes more about the things of the Lord and less about you. It becomes more about others and what meeting others' needs and serving others and having time with others. And when you're a newborn baby in Christ, is no different than being a newborn babe right out of the womb. I'm sure right now, Miss Jennifer down there with a baby that's born with Micah, the baby's probably done ate about 16 times already in any 24-hour period come by because they got to have. Probably done had to change about 4, 5, 6 diapers this evening already because they just need, they got to have. That's no different than a newborn Christian. We're like newborn babes. Got to be able to talk, be taught to walk. And boy, it's a good thing whenever you can look down and see a child of God grow as they get up and they mature and they start walking on their own. Sure, we make mistakes. Sure, we fall. Sure, we have some differences, and some times in our life where we are not walking as upright as we should, and even in our mature times. But I tell you what, it's a whole lot different than when you was a newborn baby in Christ. Whole lot less messes too. But I do know this, and I have learned this, the older you get, the bigger the mess that you make, it affects a whole lot more people. A little baby, all it does affects mom, and dad just rolls over and keeps on snoring and keeps on sleeping. Mom's got to get up, feed the baby, change the diaper, go back to sleep. She can't even hardly stay awake. But what I tell you, when grown folk make problems, affects everybody, don't it? Affects the children, affects mom, affects dad, affects grandma, aunts, uncles. You can't even have a good, a good family reunion at some, because if you went to a family reunion, you'd allow to be having a shootout. Be more like the Hatfields and the McCoys, but it's one family. When big folk make problems and make trouble, it's really a big mess. So that's a big difference, in the maturity of a Christian. I guess the more you grow in the Lord, and the more you're stable in the Lord, well, when you do fall, well, you make a big splash. It's a big ripple. Goes way out, John. A little baby, when they make that mistake, babe in Christ, we look at it and say, oh, we got to pray for that one. We got to love on that one a little bit. And here's another thing I've noticed, too. We're a lot more lenient on some babes in Christ than we are on some of the elders that have fallen into sin as they've been mature. As soon as somebody had been walking with the Lord 10, 12 years, fall in sin, well, we're ready to cut them off. Can I help you for a moment, dear friend? Church discipline, and I'm going a little bit off here because we got a business meeting here in a minute, but church discipline is not about amputation. Getting sin out of our life is about amputation. The Bible says, if your eye offend, pluck it out. That's radical amputation. But church discipline, dear friend, is about restoration. There's a big difference. We gotta get to that point. We understand, yes, it's a mess. Yes, it stinks. Yes, it's ugly. Yes, it's painful. Yes, it's hurtful. But they need to be at the feet of Jesus. Because out there, when we run them out and we put them out, and we don't try our dead level best for restoration, dear friend, there's no hope almost out there. Outside of the grace of God. That's why Jesus left the 99 after. I'm not talking about going up and hooking up with them and saying, hey, you keep on doing what you do, stay around here and it's okay. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the whole purpose is to get them to recognize that they need Jesus. Not, they don't need us. We all can fall and falter and fall into sin. If only by the grace of God, we ain't all church discipline, I'll tell you that. God's been good to us. And boy, Peter's got a big change to come about here. I tell you, when he started focusing on Christ and the things of Christ, look with me, Romans chapter 4, verse 25. Romans chapter 4, verse number 25. He was always pointing out the resurrection, bringing up the resurrection. The resurrection meant a lot to him. Now, look at Romans 4:25. Who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Dear friend, it was not enough for the Lord just to simply die for our sins. The resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ is significant in this, that it is showing that God accepted the payment that His only begotten Son laid down. It's very significant. When Peter began to look at that and began to establish that in his life, and every turn he was preaching, talking about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and his focus changed. He began to know and to deal in Scripture. If you go and study there in the book of Acts, chapter number 2, at verse number 16, instead of wielding the sword and cutting off ears, he started wielding the sword of the Lord, the sword of the Word. If you notice there in your own time and study it, he's actually quoting and preaching from Old Testament Scripture. Remember, Peter was a fisherman. That's what thing. When you get around God, get around things of God, your vocabulary changes. The things you talk about changes. The things that are important to you, they change. It wasn't no more about getting the government switched around. It was more about the kingdom of God. So a big difference there as Peter began to see God work in his life. Actually, it caused boldness as he spent time with the Lord, spent time in the Scripture. Look over in Acts chapter 4 and verse number 13. It caused some boldness in his life. You remember the last time whenever they caught him down in there in the outer guard part there where the judgment hall was, and that young lady said, "Hey, I know you're one of them." He didn't have any boldness. No. Yes, yeah, your voice gives you away. He didn't have no boldness. Look here in Acts chapter 4 and verse number 13, the Bible says here, "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus." You think 40 days with the resurrected Lord didn't make a difference? 7 days in prayer made a big difference. Hey, your walk with God makes a big difference. You've got to purposely find time for you and the Lord. Purpose, it's got to be on purpose. It's not by accident. How many of you accidentally have wound up at work this morning? Like just all of a sudden woke up and come to yourself and we're up the boogers out your eyes and, "Hey, what am I doing here at work?" No, you purposely went to work. This is the Lord's work. You got to purposely go to the Lord. I mean, it's the easy way. I've been thinking about a message here and trying to figure out how to work it in. It's from Matthew, where he says, "My yoke is easy." And then in Proverbs, where it says, "The way of the transgressor is hard." I'm trying to figure out how to stretch that out into about 25 minutes. Something maybe like this, say, choosing the easy way. Because that's what we want right now, Sister Barbara, is that everybody wants the easy way. Dinners that used to be TV dinners, you had to put them in the oven. It'd take you about 15 minutes to cook. Now you put them in the microwave and they're done in a minute and 30 seconds. We want it easy. We want to go pull up. We don't even want to get our cars at oil changing spots anymore. We want to drive up there and stay sitting in the car while they change the oil. We just want it easy. We want to take I saw an article today, an ad in the paper today. It said, Google's coming out with something to tell us when the restaurants aren't full. It's coming out so you don't have to go up here to Longhorn and wait 35 minutes. You know the line's only 12 minutes long. We want it easy. So since we want it easy, I think biblically the easy way is to take the yoke of the Lord. So I'm working on that and hope it works out here soon. It may not. Maybe next year, next week, next 2 years, who knows. But we notice something about Peter. Being around the Lord caused some boldness. It worked in his life. It made a difference. Listen, not only that, it changed him. He had a burden for the entire world. What do you mean, preacher? You remember in the Gospels, he was just concerned about Israel. In the book of Acts, where'd he go? Cornelius. Cornelius was a Gentile. He became concerned with others. Outside, that's what happens. When you're around the Lord and you're around the things of the Lord. The Bible says that Peter was a man that would rather choose God's way than man's way, even threatened. You remember in the Garden of Gethsemane, not the Garden of Gethsemane, outside the hall where they were judging Jesus? He was under threat. He thought he was going to be put in jail. He thought he was going to be crucified, maybe. He didn't know. But in the book of Acts, he says, "Whether to obey man, I'm not sure what you're talking about, but I think I'm going to obey God. I think I'm going to do right by God." So the entirety changed. Every bit of it changed. This is an amazing thing. Look over in John chapter 21 for the last verse. John chapter 21. And verse number 18. John chapter 21, verse number 18. The Bible says in John 21, 18, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whether thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, follow me. Guess who he's talking to? Then Peter. You know, historians say that Peter died in Rome on an upside down cross there. Peter drank of that cup that the Lord drank of. The Lord says, it's coming. It's going to happen. You used to go where you wanted to. But now you're getting older, Peter, and they have to carry you around. Peter, I mean a tremendous man. Here's a verse, a passage that I'd ask you to read on your own. Not now, I'm not going to go through it. But 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. Boy, those are tremendous verses. Teach you about maturity and spiritual growth, virtue, knowledge. Things that should be added. It's got a starting point. You got to start somewhere. Those are good verses I'd read if I was y'all. And if you've read them before, I'd reread them. Wouldn't hurt it. Wouldn't hurt at all. Peter, before in the Gospels, and Peter after the Gospels. The whole time the Lord was working on Peter. Isn't that amazing? All the way through, working on Peter. I tell you, dear friend, you're never, ever too far in your pride, boastfulness, or anything else, and haughtiness, that God cannot redirect you and get you the path where He can use you. Peter's a good example. He did tremendous things for the Lord. Father, we thank You. We ask You, Lord, to bless You. We move into this here business meeting. Lord, we know the people are tired. We won't tarry labor long with it. But we do have to conduct the business of the church, so we ask You to bless. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a motion to move into a business.